Happy Martin Luther King Day, good sir.
Oh my goodness, it is a holiday of some sort that I don't get off work from.
How's beautiful Milwaukee treating you? Is the weather holding up still, or is it?
Oh, dude, gorgeous today. -5.
Oh, primo.
So, yeah, that's pretty solid.
-5. That's what I miss.
Yeah, that's we're definitely into winter now. It was sleeping, but it's gung ho at this point.
The people who just assume that it wasn't going to be winter are my favorite. Like, it's not cold on the first day of winter, so it's perfect. I'll wear shorts.
I'm at least slightly optimistic that it won't last any longer, so hopefully, you know, we're almost to the midway point, which would be nice.
Yeah, hopefully.
Yeah, and fingers crossed. But as always, it's another Monday, so welcome to another episode of The Horrible Influence. I have I got some cool stuff, and then I've got some heart-crushing stuff for tech. You and I were talking about this before we got started here. Gaming is very quiet. We're in the slump. You know, all the Christmas premieres are out. You know, holiday stuff is done. Steam sales, you know, that big push is over. I did pick up a game that wasn't on the winter sale, but went 75% off, and it was Sniper Elite 3 with season pass for like, I think it was $17.
Is it any? I don't even know what Sniper Elite is. Is it any good?
It's pretty good. It's a first-person shooter. You can do online modes of like team deathmatch and capture the flag, and then it's got a full story mode with it. All of the Sniper Elites have been pretty good, but you know,
oh, cool!
This one was. I was real happy with the price. And
oh wow, it came out June of 2014, and it's still $50. Wowee!
Right? Yeah, it's. I think it came out in all the major consoles as well. Like, it's a full game.
Right,
it's a lot of fun to play. It's one of those, you know how they did the new Mortal Kombat where when you, like, break somebody's bone, it would...
Oh, the X-ray moves?
Yeah, the X-ray stuff. Well, if you're sniping...
Oh, I see it right here. Yeah, I see it blowing through this dude's bicep. That's pretty fucking heavy.
So you can lay down and you know, hit E and he'll focus in, and then a little red square comes up, and then you can make micro moves to move that exactly where you want. You got a short time frame to do it, and then you release your round, and the camera follows the bullet through the air. So like if you smack through a leaf or whatever, the leaf will tear away, and then hits the guy wherever, and it shows it like break the bones apart. It's actually it's an interesting game. I like it.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, the price was right. I wouldn't have paid $60 for it, but
yeah, shit. Had I known it was a good game, I thought it was just another one of those piece of shit Steam games that are
right.
That's
real low end. No, actually, I've wanted to buy it for a long time, and I just couldn't justify that over another like $60 AAA title. And
yeah,
then now,
for sure.
Hey, when the price dropped, I went ahead and picked it up. It's a lot of fun.
Hell yeah.
But to get ahead of ourselves there, did you hear about the SpaceX crash?
Oh, no. No, I didn't.
Oh, no. Yeah, pull that video up for your enjoyment, I guess. I don't know. They successfully got the rocket to the International Space Station. The first stage comes back down to Earth, right? It's supposed to land. Well, this one, they tried to land on a drone ship. So it's a completely unmanned vessel that is supposed to now catch the rocket. The damn thing touched down perfect, and one of the legs didn't lock in, and it just tips over. And I was like watching it, and I was like, well, they made this sound like the thing, you know, crashed and burned, but it just falls over, so it's probably still okay. Fuck no, the thing tips over and just boom, it just fucking explodes.
Damn, that sucks.
Yeah, it's pretty disappointing.
Holy shit! Yeah, that blows up.
Yeah, it does. It looks like it's just gonna like dunk. Oh, okay, but no, when it went over, which just man, that's horrifying to know that if it lands on those three little feet, golden.
Yeah, yeah.
If it just tips over after touching down, like the it wasn't moving anymore. was it like it crashed? It
not
just
to mention it's on a little, it's on the water.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to be rocking. How long does that thing need to sit there before it gets secured?
Well, I guess they're attributing it to cold weather, not allowing the locking mechanism of the leg to stay stable. So when the legs came out, one of them was still just hinging. So it hit, and then when it rocked onto that one leg, it just folded.
Oh, okay.
Tip over. So they'll have to go back to the board on that one. I couldn't believe how big of an explosion it was.
Yeah, that's dunk. Serious fucking business.
But yeah, he's
ice buildup due to condensation from heavy fog at liftoff. Huh.
Yeah, they're gonna have to figure out how to where fog doesn't destroy the $1 billion.
The fact that they were able to get it up to the space station and then back down onto a ship in the middle of the ocean is pretty damn impressive.
Right. I don't take anything away from how close they are getting. They can land them on land now. So, like, as long as you're putting it down on a tarmac, it seems to – they've got that figured out for the most part. But the drone thing is where they want to get to. So, it's, you know, it can – capture them out in the middle of the ocean.
Yeah.
The only downside for these is trying to do R&D when $300 and something million it cost to launch, and then I don't know what it costs to build one of those every time, but I'm assuming it's more expensive than a disposable first stage would be. So to have it blow up is worse than having a disposable first stage.
Oh, I understand what you're saying, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, the amount of technology into that recyclable or reusable one is much greater than the trash one that's this one-time use.
Right.
For sure.
That's like, I mean, I'm assuming he's got the money to do it, but...
Yeah.
I hope he does. I hope he's got the money for it, because that's a big leap forward. I mean, when you can start when everything now, like even before when we were using the shuttle, that's the only thing coming back. This is the first day. This is the engines that launch it, you know, to leave the grasp of this orbit. That's what they're salvaging, and if you could reuse those engines every time, it they said it would greatly reduce the cost to put things into space.
I'm sure three-legged deal's weird. For that shit, dude, they have to plan for it.
I can't believe it when you see it hits right dead on that bullseye.
Yeah.
When it comes down. That's impressive. I mean, this is something that's built to go off like a bottle rocket. And then it's like you're taking a bottle rocket, walk outside and launch it, and then that thing comes back down and the stick goes back into the bottle.
Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah, no shit. It's crazy watching it come back down because it, like you were saying, the foot doesn't break off. It just gets pushed back up like that piston gets compressed.
Right, yeah, it just folds back over. And then, unfortunate, man, he had to – I can only imagine the joy – followed by just heartbreak right there, because it you're sitting there going like, come on, and then it touched down. They're like, just fucking boom.
Well, at least it's falling slow. Whoa, holy fuck.
I expected it just to go donk and then like maybe like roll or something, like that was it. Like I thought, yeah. Well, at least it's like it had a fucking button on it.
It was like some some movie shit.
Yeah, it just tipped over and exploded, but they'll get it. That's really close. I mean,
high hopes
for the guy. On to other news.
Oh, I saw that they were they're building the test track for that Hyperloop thing in Vegas, that high speed pressurized train thing. So that's pretty cool. They're getting that moving forward.
And what's that loop supposed to run to?
Or right now it's just a test thing.
I know, but what's the plan? L.A. or
I was going to guess Vegas to L.A. Or that's maybe like San Francisco to L.A. or something like that.
Yeah, that's the – I mean, that's a logical for right now, right?
Yeah. They've been talking about running a train from L.A. to Vegas for a long time, so
yeah,
I wouldn't be surprised if they went that route.
It's about time. I mean, it for me, it's a little – too little too late style thing for us and trains. I mean, they've had bullet trains now for 12 years or so in Europe. I mean, that's we seem to be real far behind the power curve.
Dude, the trains that they have in Japan are incredible. But they have a much smaller scale that they have to build on. Like, they're able to completely change their train system or like their cell phone service system or anything like that much quicker than we are.
Right. Yeah. I mean, we still don't have cell phone service everywhere.
Right. Montana, pretty much none.
Yeah. The UP.
Yeah. No shit.
No, that's, I understand the size of it, but we haven't even done it on a small scale like the Vegas to LA. I mean, you'd think that would have came around a long time ago.
Yeah, I mean, we've done it on, like, a small scale of, like, just local city shit. So, like New York City or, like, the small train system that's here in Seattle. Or, like, San Diego has a little trolley system. But nothing that's going to tie in two separate cities. That's for fucking sure.
But even those aren't – they're not up to that bullet standard.
Oh, God, no. No.
That's – you're still looking at – ancient technology basically for what we look at.
Yeah, light rails. Like they're building one in Denver right now that is gonna connect like Golden and Arvada and Denver and whatever the hell else is over there. Wheat Ridge, Lakewood, all that stuff. So that's cool, but that's just one of those ones that has like the two metal rods that come up off the roof that connect the wires along the track. Yeah. Yeah.
Bumper car style. I mean, to put it even in a real weird comparison here, we have cars on the road right now that drive themselves and we still don't have a bullet train.
Yeah.
We just skipped it. We're like, nobody's gonna ride a train.
I wonder why. I wonder if the spacing was too big of an issue. Or
to tear up all of the railway because they can't use the existing railway, like railway.
That'd be good. I'd be terrified if somebody was sending down like trains of coal on the same tracks that they're shooting bullet trains down.
The tracks I used to smash pennies on back home and hitch a ride to the fucking park back in Arkansas. Nope, I don't want. Be out there trying to grab onto that bad boy. Yo!
Yeah. Rip your fucking arm off.
I wouldn't even move. You just.
Yeah.
Try your left arm. All right. Oh, speaking of transportation, cab drivers in the UK now are freaking out over Uber. It's not a here problem anymore. The unions of taxi cab drivers over there are losing their freaking minds. And not that this would normally be a story for here, but have you seen the new South Park about the handicab?
No, I haven't.
Ah, man. You gotta watch this. South Park took on the argument between taxi cab unions and basically Uber.
Yeah.
But their version of Uber was called Handicab, and Handicab was Timmy pulling a cart with a table, and two people could go sit down at the table, and he'd Timmer, and he'd pull them along to their next place. And they go to him, and they're like, dude, Timmy, if you just gave other people handicaps was the hat that they wore for handicaps. So they're like, if you just gave other people handicaps, then then you'd make more money for your cause. He was raising it for like his camp or whatever.
Yeah.
And they had the kid that got raped by the shark on there, and he's trying to tear it down. So he's going to the cab unions and trying to find a way. Well, they did it perfectly. And what they showed was one guy goes and gets in a real cab, and he's like, "Could you turn the radio down?" And the guy's like, "No radio down." He's like, "Why does it smell like piss back here?" He's like, "You ride." Like, he's just yelling at him. And he's being very rude. And that when it finally came down to it, he was like, "Well, somebody went back up to the cab union and said, well, instead of trying to fight this, why don't you just view this as a changing of the times and clean your cabs and hire respectable drivers?"
That's no shit.
"And pay a living wage." And they were like, No, we're going to form a union and get rid of handicap. That's what we're going to do. So when I saw this story, that's all I could think about was they're showing them up there, and there's this big fat lady, and she's just, they don't know the roads, and they're taking our jobs, and they're kicking her jeans. It's pretty pathetic. Their arguments are, but they're doing it better than we are.
Yeah, I don't know what there is to even talk about in this. I have nothing to offer to this conversation because none of it makes any sense to me whatsoever.
South Park does a very good job of this a lot of times.
Yeah,
but showing the absurdity of something like this,
dude, totally.
Where they. I mean, it was perfect. The cab drivers, it's just filth, and the cars are nasty, and you know, he like drives him three blocks, and he's like $22.50. He's like, what?
Dude, that's one thing that's huge. Like, the price difference between a Lyft or an Uber versus, like a yellow cab is insane.
Yeah,
like a third of the price. Their prices are completely unreasonable.
And the standards. That's the massive thing to me. It's like, you're going to bring your car, and it has to be completely clean. It has to pass, like, all of these. It can't be so many years old and all this stuff. Well, taxi cabs made massive amount of profits by buying retired police cruisers,
yeah,
from auctions with 300,000 miles on them.
Right.
You know, and it's...
They spend
not saying that
probably
they weren't
$2,000 on that car, maybe.
Right. And that's the thing. Maybe $2,000 with putting tires and painting it and everything.
Yeah.
You know, they're probably buying every one of them at these auctions for, you know, probably, I'd say $1,000, $1,500 at the most. They're picking up cars, throwing yellow paint on them, and then leasing them out and putting them on the road. Where now you have, I mean, what was it? The last one we took. We got picked up by that guy in that Beamer.
Yeah.
Super nice car.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I don't know. I'd rather get picked up.
They always have, like, candy or, like, bottles of water. They offer for you to charge your phone. It's like, real nice, dude. We're going to be in here for 2 fucking minutes. Let's just hit the road. But it's not even comparable between those.
And that guy, he used to be a taxi driver. Last one we got. You know, that's the thing is he saw it and he packed his shit up and he went out and probably leased a nice car, and then now he just Ubers around and you could pick he was an old taxi cab driver immediately, because when we hadn't requested it, he was like, "Oh, well, the average charge would be this," and we just gave him cash or whatever. Like, he totally wasn't doing the appropriate thing, but still just meeting the standards that they put forth to be that Uber was such a nice deal.
Yeah, definitely. There's a number of guys here, like Melissa and I take Lyft relatively awesome here in Seattle, and past couple days we've had a few dudes that it was pretty apparent that they used to be cab drivers and now they're driving for Uber or Lyft, whatever.
Right.
Potato, potato.
Yeah, as long as the quality of the car doesn't go down and the experience doesn't change any. Because, I mean, we've gotten some weird drivers that are doing Lyft or Uber so they can make friends because they haven't been able to do so.
Yeah.
So those, you get those or whatever, but still a nicer experience than I've ever had in a taxi cab.
We used one in San Diego, and the guy came into the bar and had a beer with us. So that was cool. I've never asked a fucking cab driver to come have a drink with us.
Hey, man, why don't you go back to your place, take a shower, burn your car, and come back and have a drink with us.
Toss that fucking beaded seat cover out the fucking window.
I was unaware that there were taxicab unions until the whole Uber fiasco started.
I didn't know there was unions for them.
That's like the thing down in Austin right now, is they're trying to get them kicked out. And that's, oh my God, I hate unions.
Yeah.
I hate them. And that's one thing, like, they are just trying to stop progression because, but we're a union. We are the word.
The initial idea was very fair. Was very fair. And I totally understand it. Yeah. But we're not killing people anymore, man. Like, safety codes have changed a lot, and it's not.
It went from unions having to stop, like, the mafia-style corporations to unions becoming the mafia-style corporation. Like,
totally. Yeah, they became the mafia, period. Well, mafia-style.
That, you know, our old company, my company now, they got in trouble at one of the places they were at. Careful not to give out any sweet names. But they got in trouble because the client was so sick of the union's laborers not doing their jobs. They couldn't get stuff done in time. They couldn't get simple tasks done. And we were a non-union contractor on there, and they knew we would do whatever they asked. So when there was blow days, they had them, can you guys build these racks? Could you just weld this? Could you just make this for us? Could you go, and as long as they were paying the bill, instead of going home and not getting a paycheck, we were, of course, like, yeah, sure. Yeah, we can do that.
Does it rhyme with book?
It does. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's like AC current, but not, and a book, but someone that makes food. that place. And you know the relationship that we have there.
Yeah.
With everybody. I mean, hell, some of the management used to work for us.
Right.
So we became this, like, scab fucking work group for them. And the unions had a fit, and they said, well, you can't weld these racks. That's a union weld job. Okay, well, what if we just made them at our shop and then brought them in? Oh, yeah, that would just be contracting out. Yeah, we could get away with that. And the union guys lost their mind, but there was nothing they could do about it. So they would go back to the shop, weld all this crap together, drag it all into the site, and get it done before they could get their own people to get off their ass and get it done.
To even get it started, I'm sure.
Yeah, even be bothered to come look at it.
But it's breaking 20 minutes.
Yeah, I would, but I got, there's a lunch today, so I'm not going to be able to work.
Do something if there's lunch today. Just got off break. I'm not ready to be working yet.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That, the fact that the term union break is now used to describe lazy workers.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
Kind of sums it up. So, yeah, that was that Uber thing, man. I was really hoping you'd see that South Park episode. Put that on your watch list.
Yeah, South Park Studios. Hopefully, I have that in a couple of days.
Yeah, it was really. I'm not sure when it exactly came out, but I watched it a few days ago. So funny. I've had my handicap for years now. That kid that got raped by the shark gets raped by a tranny.
Who was the kid who got raped by the shark?
Oh, it's his partner's name is Mimsy.
Oh, gotcha.
Mimsy.
Yes. Say no more. That fucking kid.
So, like, last season, it was. That's why I don't know if this was that new of an episode, but he was talking about, like, last season he got raped by the shark, and I think that might have been several seasons ago. But in the episode, he said, yeah, you know, last year I got raped by the shark. And then he goes, and I thought the shark was bad. And he walks out of this like restroom where he's just got done getting raped by a tranny.
What the fuck, dude?
I thought the shark was bad. that show. I think it's coming to an end, I heard.
They've talked about wanting to be done with it for a while, but
I don't watch it enough to say, like, no, you shouldn't, because I don't think enough people still watch. But when I catch it, I'm very rarely disappointed. There was a couple of seasons where it seemed like they kind of lagged out, but now that they've started grabbing so good on these little social cues, like the PC
principle. Yeah,
that was a great episode. This one's funny. Really good. The Yelp reviewer episode,
that one was good,
absolutely hilarious. So when they nail those type of things, I'm gonna be sad when they're gone. I mean, that's been around
long time. It 20 years.
Yeah, it started when I got a, like, Beavis and Butthead, when I started to get into them, and they were, like, that adult cartoon version, which was funny, but then all of a sudden, like, I was like, oh, like, I like these type of cartoons, like, this dirty, funny thing, and then all of a sudden, fucking South Park just, wah, like, here you go. I remember trying to, having to convince somebody to take us to go see the movie. Enjoyed it. Be sad when they go down. Las Vegas had a tech show.
CES.
Yep, 6th through the 9th. And we talked about the hoverboard guy.
Yeah.
Going in and getting that yanked out. Well, so I went back to see who scored big, who did a good job doing something there. One of these companies was a company called Carbon Robotics. Carbon Robotics is making automated arms, similar to ones that would build your cars inside of GM or whatever.
Oh, okay,
but,
like the big.
Well, that style, but they're desktop size.
Oh, really?
Yep, and they are the first company to do what they believe is the threshold of robotics by offering a fully programmable Dremel style, like the interchangeability, like you can take a drawing arm off of it and put on a 3D printer attachment. You can take that off of it and you can put on a grabber, or tons of different attachments for this thing. But the big breakthrough was breaking through the sub $5,000 mark. That's what everybody's been shooting for. A lot of people are getting around that price tag. These guys got it down to $2,000.
Oh wow!
The average arm right now is still $20,000.
God damn! How big are these things? Like in length?
Fully extended, probably 2.5-3 feet. I would guess. I only saw it, curled up working.
Yeah.
But it would sit like on a computer desk that size, and could work. It gave the space. It was like a 3 feet. Must have been 3 foot.
Okay.
Like full extension, because the workspace they gave was like 3 feet squared.
Okay.
But cool. The cool things about this, not so much the price or the fact that you can get it, the interchangeable head's a really cool thing. The programming on it, if you want it to do a simple task, once you touch it, you put your hand on it, that now puts it in learning mode. The thing's name is Katia. KATIA, and it stands for Kick Ass Trainable Intelligent Arm. That's its name. So if you touch one of the joints, it now goes into training mode and it won't move, so you can't be hurt by it. That was the and I'll get into all that. But once it goes into training mode, you can now take it, physically grab its hand, like let's say it's a grabber.
Yeah.
And you could move the arm, grab something physically with your hand in that grabber, pick it up, move it over here, open the arm and let it drop it.
Yeah.
So now, and then let it go. It will repeat those moves seamlessly now. So you don't have to know, for simple projects, you don't have to know any type of programming, which was a huge hurdle. Like, I couldn't program an arm.
Totally. Do something. For sure.
Even the simplest tasks. Then it said, okay, let's say you want to do something a little bit more extreme than that. You want it to be able to draw or 3D print. They made an app that goes on your iPad, and you can draw, hit a button, and then the robot can then draw. It can copy all of these moves. The applications for it, I love hearing. This is what catches me about these like guys like this and so many other products now, is when they say, we've made this, and we don't even know what you're going to be able to do with it.
For sure.
Like, here's all the tools. Now, you figure out, like, we know it can draw, and we know that you can attach it to a wheelchair and help somebody with extreme muscular dystrophy do things.
Yeah.
Because you can program buttons. So now you could hit, you could have it sign your name.
Oh, wow.
So if, theoretically, you could have that on a wheelchair, and if a guy needed to just sign his name now, he could come up and you could put, you know, he could voice box to put the page down and then hit a button, and that little hand would come out and sign it, sign his name.
It'd be sweet if the guy in the wheelchair had a top hat and like a little door would open in the front, and then the arm would come out and sign his name and then fold back into his head.
Go back in.
Fucking sweet.
I was thinking it'd be sweet if he had a top hat and the only thing the arm did was just to give it a little dip.
And had a good day on to you. Until it malfunctions and it just starts slamming the hat down on his head until it's a bloody stump in between his shoulders.
So they said one of the major problems with arms is not only the price or the programming, but the safety aspect. Even the best safety protocol, the arm has to touch you before it stops.
Oh, okay.
Which even the really good ones are good, but if you get into a blind spot or where the sensor's not, like, you can get decapitated. That's still a problem. So
that's big.
Yeah, these guys have used, they didn't talk about it a whole lot. You had to really dig to kind of figure out what they used. They developed basically the same technology that your cell phone uses to know that you're touching it. Like, I can't touch it with a pen. But if I take my finger and touch my screen, it registers that. And the electromagnetic field in my hand.
Yeah.
You know? The sensors are just turned way the fuck up. And it can detect you up to 20 feet. All right. Whoa. So I don't know how they differentiate other products, but they showed it. And what they've done is they built it into every aspect of the arm. So there's no point at which you, like, there's no blind spot. If you go like underneath it and to where a joint would be, it would know it and it would stop. So they show the thing on video moving around, and this guy just like waves his hand next to it, and the thing stops, just freezes in place. That's probably got a lot of room for malfunction right now, but
that's still pretty.
It was really cool.
Badass, yeah.
The reason I say it's probably got a lot of room for malfunction is they brought one to the show. And they couldn't demonstrate it they do that panel where the judges were there. I guess you call them judges. I don't know. But it's a panel of experts. New companies come out and they say, like, we're a startup and this is what we do. And then this panel would ask them, so, like, did you create this or how does this work? You know?
Yeah.
They dig. They get to do a 6-minute presentation and then they get asked questions. And that's what he goes, well, can we see a demonstration? They said, well, when we shipped it here, when we unboxed it, it wouldn't work.
That sucks.
Something came dislodged. So they're there, though. I mean, they showed a video of it working. We'll see. To check it out, though, is carbon.ai.
Okay, cool.
But pretty cool stuff. You can use the Kinect. Another company. This is another thing I thought was cool. It's another company using the Kinect's camera to program stuff. So students are using it for moving. Yeah, Carbon AI. You can, I don't know if you get it, you make your hand do the motion or whatever, but you can use the Kinect with your PC and program this arm.
Wow.
So that motion detection is that.
You could feed your pets from being on the road.
Right.
If you took your Kinect and your laptop, you could, like,
pet your cat.
Well, yeah, with the creepy, like, crab claw. But just put, like, a big rubber hand on the end of it and just Good kitty.
That, I had not thought of that, but now I'm going to buy one of these arms and immediately buy a cat. I'll start with a gerbil.
Start small. Maybe start really big.
Yeah, something that can't be hurt.
A Newfoundland, yeah, that's not just going to get fucking broken in half, just karate chopped in half by some kids.
You're just watching your Skype screen as it just strangles your gerbil and then gives you the finger, and you're like, "What? Whoa." It picks up the remote and just starts flipping through channels. What the fuck is going on?
Just starts ordering porn. Damn it.
I knew this would happen. Elon knew. AI will be the death of us. Damn it. But they were a cool company. I really enjoyed their presentation. They're young, and that's another company like we were talking about last week with these guys needing a business person to come in and like kind of snag the reins on it a little bit. Like, they get the cart before the horse a little bit.
For sure. There's some battery technology coming out of, I don't know the name of the company. This was a couple weeks ago, but there's some pretty cool battery technology coming out of CES. It's going to allow for much longer lifespan and a much shorter charging time.
Is that the, instead of lithium ion, it's something else ion? Like they're getting rid of the lithium?
Yeah, I think that sounds right.
They were using something else. I read something on this and I forgot to follow up on it. But yeah, they were replacing the, because I guess lithium is shitty to get. Like the mining process and everything is pretty horrible.
Sounds about right. I mean, it's a technology that's been around for a decent amount of time, and another one that we just haven't replaced yet. Which, yeah, I don't know. Sometimes it feels like we just stopped moving forward, and some people just settled with, "Oh, well, this is fine. This will work."
Well, yeah, that happens a lot. If somebody starts making money with it, they want to see it change.
Yeah,
you know, back to the Uber thing, same type deal.
Yeah,
just with technology or anything else. If someone's not willing to stand up and shove it forward, and it seems like we jump now. It's like we're a fault line that keeps getting snagged in little errors. Instead of that smooth progression, which seemed like smooth, and maybe it didn't, but it seemed like late 80s through the 90s, everything just, cell phones just progressed, and everything and was able to progress, but it was the underlying technology that stuck for so long, like that the lithium ion battery.
That was always there.
They made them smaller, they made them, you know, higher capacity, but that was one piece that never broke loose, and I think now it's going to crack and it'll jump and we'll have something new. It'll be salt water or something that's readily available.
That'd be some shit. Air.
It turns out that if you just bottle this shit around us, unlimited power. If only we had a giant radioactive ball of energy in the sky that could power things.
If only.
I'd call it the sun if I named it.
Only. That kind of brings up nicely one thing that I wanted to talk about. That, oh God, what is its name? KIC 8462852, that star that was dimming, that they thought,
that son of a bitch. Kimmy.
Their Reddit was like, oh my God, it's an alien structure around a star. So
right, I remember
guess
that.
It got,
we talked about it,
brought back up again in the last couple days, and they realized that it's been dimming over the last, what do you say, it's been dimming since 1890, and it just doesn't make any sense whatsoever. It's faded about 20% between the 1890s and the 1980s. So 190 years, it's faded 20%, and there's no they're not saying that it's an alien structure, that's for sure. But
that doesn't seem that ridiculous to me. Doesn't that just seem like you're seeing the fading, the faint end of a cycle there? Like, most of the light that we see is probably burned out. Most of the stars have long since died, and we're just witnessing the trail end of it. Does that, I mean, you would think that,
I would think that they would make a statement about that if that were, so I mean, obviously they've been tracking it for since the 1890s. Well, not tracking it, but they're able to go back to previous pictures of that area of the sky and see that it's reduced in brightness. But I feel like
what the idea is that they're mining the sun?
The idea of the Dyson Sphere is they would build a structure around a star. So the inside of the structure would be solar panels, so right. It could collect an insane amount of energy. But the idea of that is fucking bananas. And it would get so insanely hot, and the amount of materials that you would need to build the structure are, the video that I watched, the guy was like, if we try to build one around our star, the structure would be, it would require so many materials that we might not have enough through our entire solar system.
Right.
Enough materials. Like, it's so much shit. And the way that it's orbiting, if something were to run into it, it would fucking just push it into the sun.
Yeah, it'd be like a hula hoop.
Right. And
got knocked.
And the issue with the gravity on the inside is like it's, I mean, you couldn't have anything on the inside of it because it would just slowly get pulled to the sun.
I got so many problems with it. Material, one. Let's say that you had a way to protect what comes to mind immediately is the Doctor Who episode where they were watching the end of the Earth and they had the force field that protected them from the UV from the sun.
Yeah.
Like the radiation and everything.
Like episode 2, wasn't it?
Yeah. You could have, I guess, you could probably have a race that was advanced enough to create something like that. You can't turn that on while you're building it. It would have to be built.
Yeah.
So how would you'd have to build it somewhere else and then lower it over the around the sun?
Dude, they're talking about building it at a diameter that is one what is it called? One AU, one, oh shit.
Is that astronomical unit?
Yeah, one astronomical unit, which is the distance between the Earth and the Sun. So it would technically, in diameter, it would be 2 AUs wide, and then be a full sphere. So like the it's
and that's if that star is as small as ours. I mean, we got a tiny one.
Right. Yeah, I don't know what the
middle
size,
of the road, right?
The size of the thing is.
But, okay, so there's one problem. How does it not melt while you're building it? And
for
then
sure.
How do you come up with the material? Solar flares mess with our electronics here on Earth. Our satellites can get screwed up by solar flares. And that's, you know, a couple of planets that way, man. Like, you're a ways away.
Right.
What stops one cutting through it like a damn lightsaber?
Nice. Yeah,
just
me, man.
Boom, and then just cut it in half. Oh, shit!
Yeah,
I can't.
Well, we'll just go patch the hole.
No,
you
don't.
How do you even get up there to build the fucking thing in the first place? But I mean, this is considering an alien race that is like so far advanced that we wouldn't even be able to like have a general idea of what the fuck they were doing.
I get that. I get that there could be some things without our grasp. What we can grasp are these ancient structures, these ancient celestial bodies out there. They're not progressing. Their sun doesn't not produce radiation. It doesn't not have solar flares. Like,
yeah. Yeah, no, totally.
I just there's a certain amount of massive unpredictability to it, where if you said, hey, let's build this, I think that, like, imagine it if it was to happen to Earth. Like, if we were like, hey, we could build a giant structure around Earth, like a Saturn ring, but it's gonna cost almost all of our resources. The amount of money is not even you can't even mention it because it's not a number.
Yeah, you couldn't. You couldn't talk
about
too money
much
at that point.
We're gonna throw everything into this. There would be so many people coming. Like, what if an asteroid? What if a meteorite? What if any random number of things? It would be catastrophic, and we would ruin the planet. It would not only bankrupt it, but you could destroy it.
Yeah.
It would never get built. So I would think that unless there's some type of hive mind colony that can, you know, what was her name on Rick and Morty? The one that Rick was in love with that was the hive mind. Unless they're all unity.
Oh,
I didn't
see that episode.
Unless they're unity, unless they are a race that is completely connected, how would you ever make that decision?
Yeah.
I don't believe it.
Yeah, no. The one quote in here about the dimming says, this century-long dimming is completely unprecedented for any F-type main sequence star. So, obviously, they took into consideration the time frame and the amount of dimming, and it's not just far away and burning out. And if they didn't, then they're real shitty scientists, because
we talked about
mine with
a
public education figured it out.
Oh, if that comes to be the decision later on down the road, I want $1 million for this podcast.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Just this one. Just this episode. Episode, what is this, 14?
14. Yeah,
that's what I want. That's crazy, man.
It's my lucky number.
I really want to find something in my lifetime. I'm not real hopeful, but I think that a lot of these guys, these scientists that have, even the guy that worked for SETI that gave up, and it looks like he probably killed himself, but when when they did the math and they came out with the, even if we're not alone, if certain things hold true, like without wormholes, without any of that, at sheer distance would keep us apart. Like,
yeah,
nobody's taken it.
Somebody given up, man, honestly. That's considering that everything that we have right now is as good as it's ever going to be, and we're never, ever going to have the ability to close a gap or find something.
Well, that's what they're getting at, is if wormholes are physically impossible. If it just can't happen, like if you take that out of the equation where you can't instantly span gaps.
Right.
What are the chances we're going to, and then what are the fucking chances that they would spot us? Because even if you could close the gaps, if we could shoot to Andromeda in a second, we'd get there and go, there's nothing here. And then you just turn and then do it again and then hope that. Hope that one time you pop out and go, holy shit, and it's just
a tiny planet.
Yeah, just planet with people, little blue ball.
I thought we were a lot further away than that.
I'd like to see something. These guys, and the other thing they said was, if you can imagine the complexity that it took for us to get here. If you take every global extinction event, if you take the completely random, insane odds that it took for us to get here right now, there's a great chance there's life. There is a slim chance that it's intelligent.
That's so fair.
Let's say nothing ever hit this planet. Dinosaurs would still be wandering around. There would probably be no intelligent life. Like, we may stumble upon a planet that's just creatures.
Yeah.
If we're the smartest thing in the fucking universe, fuck, dude. Oh, that's scary.
Maybe new DLC will come out for the universe, and they'll put a new playable race on another planet nearby.
They've got to, because that's sad.
Maybe the dinosaurs would have evolved into giant lizard people that liked bacon. And then eventually became fat and bacon. Useless and relied on technology to cart their fat asses around.
You remember that animatronic TV show?
Dinosaurs? Oh, dinosaurs? Shit,
not the
yes.
Mama.
The blinking takes like a second to blink. Like, ka-chunk.
Really good. He went to his job as his little lunch pail. I love that show. They evolved everything but pants.
That's right. They all had shirts and shit on, or jackets or something, but none of them wore pants. That's killer.
Did you see my Steam name now?
Powder Toast Man?
Powder Toast Man. Yeah. Nobody had it.
That's pretty funny that nobody had Powder Toast Man.
Oh, I typed it in, and when it didn't give me Powder Toast Man 1, I was Delta Mech 1. I've been Delta Mech on every live gaming thing since the beginning of time.
Yeah.
Like, since Xbox Live started, I was Delta Mech. And I had to be Delta Mech 1 on Steam. It's such a random, like, who gives a shit about those two words being together? And I was like, well, and I'm sitting here looking at my little framed picture of Powder Toast Man with the, you know, the guy that drew it signature, yeah, and all that on here. And I was like, man, it'd be sweet if I could be Powder Toast Man on Steam. And I typed it in, and it just, your name has now been changed to Powder Toast Man. So excited. I must tell the others. Devin was playing Call of Duty, and so I jumped into his game and was just trying to, like, talk shit to him because he was on the opposite team.
Yeah.
And he just logged out. Like, he never caught that it was me or something.
Feelings hurt and he left.
Yeah, he was like, fuck this dude, man.
God, these people on the Call of Duty are aggressive.
Yeah. I was like, stop shooting me, Devin. good old Powder Toast Man. Yep. I was so excited to get that name. That's all I've got for anything science. I tried to go super long on science today. We're already at 53 minutes here. And
oh, word.
Because poor gaming, dude.
Poor
nothing
gaming.
There.
Yeah. I finished Axiom Verge. And that game is, I'm buying this game for 59 cents. This game is called Dust Off, and you fly around a little voxel helicopter and blow shit up and rescue people. It's on sale for 59 cents. I'm putting it in my shopping cart right now. Anyways, I finished Axiom Verge this week, and that game's badass. Like, if you don't have it.
I bought it and downloaded it last night, so.
Right on. Yeah,
I'll play through it.
It's definitely fun. Oh, it'd be, they left it open for a potential second one, or maybe there's like an ending that you get if you get like 100% for like map discovery or item unlocks and stuff like that. But they left it open for a second one, or if you read into it a little bit, then I'm not going to spoil anything. Then the ending may be a hard ending. It just explains what is happening during the game. I don't know, but it plays well. The music is fucking badass, and it's a ton of fun. So if you haven't yet, check that out. Definitely one of the best games of 2015 that I played.
I think that at least for the next couple of months here, it's going to be exciting to play a lot of games that we didn't get a chance to. A lot of games are going to go on sale that didn't pick up. Yeah, they're not going to pick up any ground. Winter sale wasn't their time. So they wait a couple months, wait a month and a half, and then they're going to throw up a game that didn't hit the mark but was probably a ton of fun to play. Axiom Verge, one of them, I didn't even hear about it until you started playing it.
Yeah. Yeah, I was going through some website's list of top games of 2015. They're like, Axiom Verge won best for something. I'm like, what in the fuck is that? The rest of them were Metal Gear, Solid 5, Phantom Pain, The Witcher 3, right. Rocket League, all big titles that we all know. And then, that one I didn't know what it was, so I looked into it. And glad I did.
Yeah, I'll pick that up, or I already picked it up, but I'm going to start playing it here pretty soon. That's something, too, I liked because I can throw it on the laptop and take.
Yeah, for sure.
Play, you know.
I don't know how the hell it plays on a keyboard, but the controller, I ran the 360 control and it went well.
I still haven't been able to pick up an Elite controller.
I saw that they just became available on GameStop's website, so they may have just been out of Microsoft for a little bit.
Well, they had them at Best Buy, but they've been out. They have the spot in the shelf.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah, it's been empty.
Where the mall that's northwest of you guys has a Microsoft store in it. You might be able to land one there.
Might go check that out this weekend and see if I can pick one up. I really want to. I'm afraid that I'm going to be disappointed that it's just going to be another controller. But now that I guess the games that I would like that for would be when I was playing Call of Duty on Xbox. But it's not going to beat mouse and keyboard for playing it on here. But we'll see. There'll be some fun games for it. I can finally finish Phantom Pain.
For sure. I still need to finish Witcher 3. I need to finish my Grand Theft Auto. Will not launch because it's telling me that I need an mfreadwrite.dl or some shit like that. So I've downloaded the media pack that's supposed to fix it. That didn't fix it. And then I uninstalled it and reinstalled it, and that didn't fix it either. So at this point, I can't even finish that because it's not wanting to launch. Yeah.
I finished that one quick. I actually sat down and hammered all the way through it. I, of course, didn't do everything that I could have.
Dude, I'm so bad about getting sidetracked on those games. Same with The Witcher. Mm-hmm. I'll be running along just bright light over here. What's this?
Yeah.
And then you're off on a 5-hour fucking side quest that takes you 2 days. When we were working, I didn't have any spare time to do that. But, yeah, definitely need to get that one knocked out.
I'll get to them. We're going to be on episode 137, and I finally finished Witcher.
Yeah. Turns out nobody gives a fuck.
Yeah. Oh, well. It's fun to complete them. I try to get to so many games.
Yeah.
Doing this, tough. I get caught, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You read an article about how great something is, and you're like, well, I got to try that. And it turns out it's good. And those little games like that that only take you a day or two, there's something fun about being able to buy it and complete it, you know, that quickly.
Yeah. Not having some goofy learning curve and all these characters they keep track of. It's just like, hey, this is your character. Here's a gun. See you on the other side.
Yep.
Cool. Thanks.
Here's just a little bit of story to sprinkle through.
Right.
I'm stopped right now on Just Cause 3 because I'm at the end. It's time to finish the fight.
Oh, yeah.
Cutscene, and it's about to go down. And so I had to stop because I wanted 100%. So now I've turned off all quest stuff, and I just have the little challenges on my map. And I'm just fast traveling one to the next, hitting them. And I'm not getting 5 stars on every one of them. I'm getting a lot of 4s and 3s, but I'm at least going to touch every one of them.
Yeah, for sure. That's cool. Just Cause reminds me of, I guess they've been, like, their anti-piracy for that game has completely shut hackers down for getting a free crack at that game. They still haven't been able to do it. And for, the article that I read, like, they worded it really well when they were like, in an unexpected turn, like, the pirates are the one that are on their heels with this whole thing. Because typically it's the pirates, and then it's like steroids and doctors. Like, the steroids are always a step ahead of the tests. And that's how it seemed like how it was with the piracy thing. But evidently they're doing a really good job of getting it reduced to, I guess the name of the company is, I think it's Denuvo. It's D-E-N-U-V-O. But I guess their biggest focus is just getting the release window to be tight.
Right.
So that way they can make their sales when the game first comes out. But I guess some of the guys that are on the threads for, like, the pirating, they're like, I've waited too long. I'm just going to go buy it. So that's, I don't know. I buy all my shit. I still buy albums. I think you should buy shit. If you want to keep getting good shit, you really need to pay for it.
Yeah.
Because if you just start pirating everything, you're going to sit around one day and wonder, where the hell are all the games at? That's because assholes
like you.
We're
the good
you.
Games.
Right.
I believe that the pirating kind of helped in a way. At least it should have. But it's hard to condone it. But there is a point where game manufacturers have to realize that cost and content has to be there for the people to pay.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, it's... You can't turn out $60, $70 titles that are half complete, or people are going to get pissed off and start ripping you off.
Yeah, for sure. And I'm sure, I'm sure Activision has it tacked down pretty hard with Call of Duty, and that's why they're able to sell Call of Duty at full price for years.
That's why Call of Duty on PC doesn't do as well, I believe, because they're... Any cheat software is like 4 iterations old now, and the cheating on there is nuts.
On PC?
Yeah, on PC. Excuse me. Yeah, it's I've run into it now, not every time I play or I wouldn't be playing it, but there's days where I can log in like a Saturday morning, I'll get up and I want to put in a couple rounds. And for some reason, that tends to be when you get the most of them. So there's not enough people playing a bunch of different modes. So I've got to go play team deathmatch on hardcore, and you join, and then you see it as soon as you join. People are just screaming and typing shit about some player, and you'll look at his score, and he's 64-4.
Yeah.
On domination, it's like I've run into them where you'll either have the guy that's a bullet sponge where it's hardcore, but for some reason he's sucking up shotgun shells. Like,
yeah.
You know,
he should have at least fallen over from the weight of the lead, and he's still fucking running around.
He'd at least be running slower. And then
something.
There's guys that are, we saw one where he was posted up and he was just shooting at a building, and it was just nailing kills. And somebody said that if you see a group of people and they're doing very well, and you see one guy that's doing not so good, that he is, whatever their cheat that they're using, he's on the other side of the map calling out where the people are, and these guys are able to shoot through anything.
Really?
And so southwest corner, and they just aim that way and launch rounds, and it's through the walls, through the rocks, through everything, and you're just dropping. So
that's still got to be hacks though, right? That are sending the bullets through all of those objects, right?
That's what they're saying.
Okay.
It's, So you got this weird combination of guys have a hack for the game, and then they're using spotters to not only have a hack, but to capitalize on it to a point where it's unrealistic the amount of kills they get.
I understand, stupid people
are good, but when you never see the guy that killed you, you've never seen him.
Right.
Like, I'll end the game, and it'll show that guy's name at the very top, and I've not seen him once. I don't know what gun he was using. I don't know, like, I never saw him.
Yeah.
So it's, that gets annoying. But if you play it at a high time, they're at least a high traffic time? Yeah.
Right,
if you're on a high traffic time, they're few and far enough between that it's an enjoyable experience, so I still play. But
that's cool. Yeah, I watched, I don't know what tournament it was. It was something on Twitch the other day. They were doing some ball thing that they had to grab a ball out of the middle and run it to the goal or some shit, which looked fun, but it's, I don't know. It looked like too much jumping around and shit, running on walls, double jumping.
Yeah, multiplayer did have the double jump. The main storyline didn't, so that was a surprise for me after I talked about it on here to then load up multiplayer the next day and find out that double jump was back. It's not as crazy as Advanced Warfare.
Yeah.
The running on the walls, if you're a running gunner,
that's shotgun. Right, because it was Call of Duty Black Ops, and then Black Ops 2, and then Advanced Warfare, and now Black Ops 3.
Right.
So they pulled a little bit out of Advanced Warfare for Call of Duty, or for Black Ops 3. Okay.
Right. So that's what they took. Now, the other one was, it was too much. It was too ridiculous.
Yeah.
But this double jump, it doesn't launch you across the map like the other one did. The other one, you could get running and just hop. I mean, you're all
just
over the
bunny
map.
Bunny hop around the map.
Yeah. You know,
some
so
old school Counter Strike shit. It's honestly.
It's not as bad on this one, but it's still there. I like it. I like the slide. You know, you run and hit crouch, and it does a boost slide.
Oh, yeah.
So if I've found that SMGs and shotguns are killer on this game. I can do perimeter runs, stay out of the middle of the map. That's danger zone. But if I stick to the edges, where now I've eliminated an entire side to worry about someone coming from.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I can rack up pretty high kills because you run, double jump forward, slide, double jump forward, slide, and you're just popping them off. And you'll almost get into a pattern. Not really spawn camping. I don't know what the spawns, if there is a pattern to them, but you'll catch somebody, and then I'll notice that if I can move quick enough, I'll catch that same asshole again.
Oh, I'd fucking put my fist through my monitor if that happened to me once, dude.
Yeah, and
no
and
fucking way.
If you, that technique has gotten, and not, that's why I like playing domination, because that takes that away. But if there's nobody on and I got to play deathmatch, oh, for sure what I do. Stick to the edge of the map and just run, slide, run, slide, run, slide. And, yeah, I'll hit somebody and it'll be like player X. And then I'll jump, jump, slide, player X, jump, jump, slide, jump, jump, player X.
Oh,
you know,
no way,
get him like three times.
I'd be fucking freaking out.
You get
out.
Some rage quitters. But
I bet.
It just depends, because I think how they do the spawn is like, I'm here, so it knows not to respawn him here. So it almost, for whatever reason, they get stuck in like a clockwise loop where the computer spawned them, you know, a quarter way around the map, and then a quarter way around the map, and then a quarter way, and
yeah.
I'm there. Like, I'm, as soon as he goes to start running, I'm right behind him. But
that'd be terrible.
Yeah. Somebody's going to come here, you're a piece of shit. Hey, man, I'm not camping. Like, I'm at least moving. I'm going to dead sprint the whole time. But so I'm going to play through Axiom. We'll play a couple new games. Hopefully you guys got some, you know, recommendations for us. Anything you've seen, anything we probably missed. You know, we're real big on going back and playing weird stuff. I went back and
for
played
sure.
through Serious Sam not too long ago. Fucking hilarious game.
That's a good game. It's just fun.
Have to go and play the Henta version of Doom. We talked
Your Doom
about last week.
Doom 3 is looking pretty fucking rad. I don't know if it looks as cool as Hentai Doom, but it looks pretty cool.
Got that image of him shooting the chick. She goes down, and he like runs up, and she just stands up, and his little health bar going.
So stupid, dude. So stupid.
Gotta love it.
There was I saw one thing that some fan made a Half-Life expansion for Half-Life Opposing Force, and that was Opposing Force was an expansion for the first Half-Life that had you play as one of the commandos that are in like the camouflage and all that shit.
Right. Yeah.
So you played the Opposing Force. But they never did anything else with it. Some fan just recently made... I didn't write down the name of this. Shit. Some fan just recently made an expansion for Opposing Force, and Valve picked it up as... Like, Valve's pushing it. Like, this is, I guess, going to be canon for the Half-Life series, as some fan-made expansion.
Opposing Force 2 mod?
Maybe.
Ooh, that didn't look good. It says development has been halted indefinitely. Oh, whoa.
It was just on Game Informer the other day. I can't believe I didn't write
this
down.
It's got to be something else. We'll check it out. There is one on Steam.
Didn't bring all of the information. That was very dickheadish of me.
Yeah, the Half-Life Opposing Force that's on Steam was released November 1st of 99.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that'd be cool if they come up with a new one. We'll have to find that out for the next episode.
It's shitty that the guy who wrote for... Oh, it's called Prospect. Spelt with a K instead of a C. Yeah. So that'll be cool. It's shitty that one of the head writers for Half-Life left Valve, but I mean he'd been there for 21 years.
Oh wow.
So I don't know. There's no signs of a Half-Life 3 coming out, unfortunately. But I don't know. Maybe one day they'll get their shit together. I don't know what their hands are full with right now, because Steam machines are dog shit. The controller's not very fucking good. And the Steam Link is, I mean...
It's what it is.
Yeah, it's pretty basic.
It's got a niche market somewhere, but I think PC gamers like playing on their PC.
I agree. I mean, it would have been cool to be able to sit on the couch and play Axiom Verge, but instead I sat in my computer chair. I don't know. It's a weird...
When you're spending how much that some people spend on couches on gaming chairs.
Yeah.
It kind of feels weird not to play. And like our setups, I like them. This is my zone. This is my area.
Uh-huh. You know? Totally.
So, when I game, I do it here. I got one of those high-speed Netflix boxes.
What's that?
Have you heard of this? Oh, man, it's a little expensive, but it's a system that it's great. You can do Netflix. You can do all of these. What's it called? It's called an Xbox One.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but that's all I use the fucking thing for now is watching Netflix and sci-fi. I like the little apps that let me watch all the little TV stuff. I haven't played a game on it and. Months and months.
Man, that sucks.
Oh, months and months. It's got to be a year now that I haven't touched a thing. Melanie just bought Alien Isolation.
Yeah, how is that?
We haven't turned it on yet, but I'm going to play through that with her, so that'll be the first time to get into it. And then she got the Lara Croft one.
Oh, okay. Tomb Raider Chronicles
or whatever the fuck. Right, when she's younger.
Yeah.
So... You know, maybe we'll get back into it now that we can pick up some used games or whatever. You know what it was? My hard drive got full. And then I keep saying, oh, I got to go get another hard drive.
Why is that such a pain in the ass for Xbox?
Well, I don't even think it's a pain in the ass. I think I can just go grab a hard drive now. You don't have to buy like an Xbox one. But the 500 gigs, the 500 gigs sounds great until a quarter of it was used up with Xbox crap.
Yeah, okay.
You know, and then you, I don't know where the space, it's supposed to have 500 gigs. That should be, I have a 500 gig hard drive on my computer and then that little 250 SSD, and I don't know how many games I have.
Seriously.
I got a fuck
ton. Yeah, that's what made me raise that question is like, I don't have a storage space issue on my computer at all. Not even a little bit. And I don't understand how the Xbox has, I think I have a 1 terabyte hard drive, and I know that I'm not 50% full. And yeah. I have a 250 gig SSD. So it, yeah, I mean, the SSD I'll have to manage, but keeping everything on the hard drive, like the disk drive, is fine.
No, like I threw Call of Duty on my regular HHD because the online play doesn't matter. Like for solid state, I'm not gonna. I no matter how fast my shit loads, I still gotta wait on everybody else.
Right.
So yeah. I don't see any reason to have 26 gigs of that stored on my solid state.
Definitely. Yeah, no. Definitely.
All right, man. Well, I am going to. I don't know. Maybe dabble in a game and then crash out for the night.
Hell yeah, dude. Oh, Assassin's Creed movie finished filming. That's the rest of what I have.
So, just before we close this out, I want to make sure I got this right. We have an Assassin's Creed movie.
That's correct.
We have a World of Warcraft movie.
Just Warcraft.
Whatever. They still couldn't put together that goddamn Halo movie other than Forward Unto Dawn.
They're like, this game's just too shitty. We can't make a movie out of this. Fuck it.
When Halo 2 came out, they leaked the photos of the live action stuff, like the filming. And where is it? That would be an incredible movie. Screw whether the game, like, I can't believe Warcraft really got, like, that's not a storyline that I would see snagging a movie.
I bet Warcraft made more money than Halo will in its entire run combined.
I'm not talking about quality of game. I mean storyline for a movie where, like, you don't have a single hero character. Like, they made a Final Fantasy movie. But a
couple of them.
Yeah, but having, like, Halo is so obviously movie oriented. Like, you have a single hero character, you have his digital love interest, and then you have this alien human war.
Maybe it was too established for them to try and come in and make a movie of it, and that's why the biggest, it wasn't Forward Unto Dawn, the one that they focus on the Marines,
right? It was the Academy.
Okay,
it was like kids in an academy.
Do you think that the Master Chief is just too much of a developed character that they can't, like, you, dude, Halo fans would shit in their hands and throw it at the screen if they did one thing wrong in that movie. His visor wasn't that long.
No more.
Yeah, probably. They were just like, yeah. But the commercials, they did all these little teasers and they went over so well. They did those live action commercials.
Yeah.
And people thought it was the build up for the movie, and people have just been screaming for this thing. But
yeah,
oh well.
Definitely. I think I was fucking around. I think the story for Halo is badass. I think it would make for a better movie than it does a game. The game mechanics are just doo doo brown to me.
Yeah, I enjoy them. That being said, never got around to playing five. Or whatever it is. I got the betas and everything else. Okay, man. Well, as always, we love you, and we will see you next week.
Love you all. Thank you. Bye.
Bye.